This is Marketplace from APM. I'm Kai Rizdal. We have come on this Friday to the close of Consumed, the series our sustainability desk has been running this week.
We want more. We want more.
Here's how to order.
Now, how much would you pay?
But you can see it's worth it.
Call now because you're worth it, worth it, worth it.
The premise, on the face of it, was pretty simple. If you start thinking long term, not about today or tomorrow, not about running errands on a weekend, not about picking up a new pair of running shoes or a new grill at the hardware store, but long term, then how much longer can our economy keep working this way, where so many people just go ahead and buy what they want when they want it? What do we get for all that buying that we do, and what does it cost us? It's crazy hard to figure out, really, because the economy doesn't actually work right without us. How many times have you heard me say how important consumer spending is to economic growth? So, to wrap things up today, we figured we owed you an answer to the underlying question. Can we afford our consumer economy? The answer, as Marketplace's Adrian Hill and David Weinberg are about to tell us, is yes. But.
Since the dawn of man, we've basically always wanted more.
We're going to introduce you. So we've got two cavemen, actually. There's Ig.
And Ook.
And Ook. And Ig, it turns out, is a super great hunter-gatherer.
Yeah, his cave is full of stuff.
There's meat everywhere.
Yeah.
Ook? No.
No, not so
much. He's kind of, you know, he just didn't gather as much as Ig. He kind of loafed.
Yeah, good. Okay.
And here's what happens. You know how this is going to go. Ig lived. Ig had a ton to eat.
Oh!
Ook, he did not survive the winter.
He died.
Oh,
and so all of us, we're likely the descendants of Ig. At least that's what scientists think. We're descendants of the caveman who was really good at getting all that caveman stuff.
And you can see that today in that we have this internal desire for more.
The ancient philosophers knew of insatiability. You know, the myth of Midas, the man who wants to turn everything into gold, that's clearly about insatiability.
So that's Edward Skidelsky. He's the author of a book, How Much is Enough?
And that insatiability that he was talking about, another way to think about it is that's our inner Ig.
But this inner Ig is all amped up, Skidelsky says.
It's on steroids.
What's happened under capitalism is that the old restraints on insatiability have all been lifted, the old moral restraints. So capitalism inflames insatiability through advertising, through marketing, this endless kindling of new needs.
But there's something else that drives us, and that's each other. Like, I'm driven by my neighbor. David, I'm driven by you, by everyone around me.
So you want things not because you need them in any absolute sense, but because other people have them or other people don't have them.
And we see this in the rise of McMansions, in SAT tutors. But we also see this everywhere in life.
And we wanted to know, what are the costs of all this buying and lusting for more? So we flew to Boston to talk to Harvard professor Michael Sandel. He wrote a book called What Money Can't Buy, The Moral Limits of Markets. And it's all about how we've gone from having a market economy to being a market society where everything is for sale. And on our way, we decided to take advantage of the way that the market works, of what you can buy when everything is for sale. Take, for example, something that's familiar to all of us, cutting lines.
Yeah, we wanted to have two different experiences at the airport. So David got to buy all the upgrades, and I flew on a regular old ticket. The first big difference was the security line.
David's just skipped this entire line.
It wasn't a velvet rope, but it was a rope that was opened up for me. I breezed through security. Meanwhile,
I watched David breeze through security as I twisted around in a snaking queue and tried to wave at David.
But I couldn't see her. I was already through security. And while she was twisting through that line, I was done. So I went and I ordered some coffee.
Can I get a double espresso and a tall Americano?
He bought me coffee, which was sweet because then he went to his fancy lounge.
Right. So then I got to go into the Premier Club, which was this nice room with wood panel walls and dark lighting. And, oh, free coffee, it turns out. It was kind of like the lobby of a hotel.
And I took my coffee to a gate that was so packed with people, I couldn't sit down. So once we got to Boston, we asked Sandel what he thought about all of this.
And he says that buying a better seat or paying to board the plane earlier, like I did, there's nothing wrong with that.
That's a convenience. That's a service that the airlines should be free to sell.
But
But
what about quicker access to the security line.
Sandel says that's the real problem.
Because that, after all, is not a service. That's not a consumer service exactly. That line, the security check, is for the sake of the common good. It's really for the sake of the security of everyone flying. And for that matter, it's for the sake of national security. And so maybe there is a stronger civic case against letting money decide David's quicker access to the security line.
This is just one example, and it's not a big one. It's one most of us are familiar with, of the way we live in a market society.
Take another example, America's favorite pastime, baseball. This is a great place to see the market at work.
Mr. Red Sox, pretty with it. Get today's program. $3. $3.
$2 programs. Get them right here. Get them right here.
And so that's exactly what we did. We took Sandel to a Red Sox game.
He points out all sorts of ways money has changed the game. And one of them is the way corporate sponsorship has worked its way into the very language of baseball.
When a player slides safely into a base, there's a promotion now with an insurance company, New York Life, where the announcer has to say, safe at home, safe and secure, New York Life.
And at first, these kinds of things are just irritating.
But the accumulated effect is that even the very language of the game, which has historically had a kind of lyrical quality with the best announcers, now the lyrical quality of the broadcast is diminished.
Well, what do we lose when that happens?
What we lose is a kind of direct, unfiltered relationship to the game, to the sounds of the game, to the rhythm of it. And it becomes yet one more part of life that's invaded and dominated by commercial values.
He says we've lost a relationship to something else, too. Basically, to each other. One of the consequences of living in a market society, says Sandel, is that we just don't hang out with each other the way we used to.
It's what Sandel calls the skyboxification of American life. And to tell this story, we actually snuck into a luxury skybox at Fenway Park.
With a Harvard professor. We snuck in.
We have a great perch behind glass. It's air-conditioned in here. If the rain starts up again, we won't get wet.
We did this for a very specific reason. Sandel worries that the wealthy in our modern society can lead very separate lives.
It's no longer true that everyone stands in the same long lines for the restroom. No longer the case that everyone eats the same pretty inadequate food. And it's no longer true that when it rains, everyone gets wet.
This wouldn't really matter all that much if we were just talking about baseball games and airports. But Sandel says when you add up all these examples, not to mention things like better access to healthcare and education, it creates a problem for us.
Democracy doesn't require perfect equality, but it does require that men and women from different backgrounds, different walks of life, encounter one another, bump up against one another in the ordinary course of life. Because this is what gives us a sense that we are all in this together. It gives us a sense of being engaged in a common project. And without that background experience of a shared civic life, it's very difficult to think and act as democratic citizens.
Sandel thinks we should at least talk about these choices.
How we decide what and how much to consume.
And whether we should even have these choices.
Because even if we can sustain this consumption in the short run, it's not without costs. I'm Adrian Hill.
I'm David Weinberg.
For Marketplace.